Listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Good night, good night, good night. To everybody out there, the radio land. This is the Sound of Soul with your host, Butcher T. Filling in for the man, Ricky D. Playing the platters that matters, like Ricky D would say. And also, you can check me out every Friday right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Butcher T's Noontime Cuts every Friday from noon to 2. Playing a wide variety of music. But right here on the Sound of Soul, a little bit of mediocre R&B. Then we get into the Quiet Storm. Sometimes we just play strictly Quiet Storm right through from 12 to 1. Yeah. All right. Like I would say on my program, this is your musical medication. Get you through the week. Get you through the moments. So if you're with that favorite one, that special one, hold he or she tight. Just enjoy the vibes. So, you got your musical seatbelt on? That's good. All right, I'm doing it remotely right here in Kingston, Jamaica, uptown style. Yeah, where the weather is nice and hot. I say no more. So, wherever you are in the universe, just enjoy your moment. All right, here we go.
Than your spirit. Be the voice of reason when you ain't trying to hear it. You want it, but you fear it, but you love it when you near it. Sit up on the sofa, get a little closer. Touch you right, do it like a man supposed to.
Good evening. It's just after 6 o'clock. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, the show about theater on the radio. From drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between. Professional student and community productions in and around Montreal, the island also known as Jojage in the Ganyagaha language, and Muniang in Anishinaabe Mohan, where we spell theater with an R-E at the end. I'm your host, Sarah Day, live in studio on Thursday, February 29th. It is leap day. It only comes around every 4 years, and it is on a Thursday today. So happy leap day. Kind of a special thing to take note of. Every time I see 29 on a calendar or on a phone screen, I kind of get a little thrill, which is fun. We do have an exciting show for you this evening. Actor and director Rahul Gandhi is joining me in studio. We will talk about the gritty American dramedy Mother Effer with a Hat. It examines addiction, relationship, and life after prison. We will have those details in just a matter of minutes. Later on in the show, we'll touch base with Zach Fraser, who is adapted and directing a version of a Montreal novelist's new book, or recent book, Dominoes at the Crossroads. Like a series of dominoes, the book flips through many different scenes and places in history. We'll find out about the challenge of adapting that and the story itself. One of the actors is hopefully also going to join us on the line as well. That's an Infinite Theater production called Dominoes at the Crossroads. And before the end of the hour, we will take a preview at the Castellier, the annual festival that makes spring break that much better. Marionette shows for kids and adults alike. Louise Lapointe is the artistic director at Castellier, and she's always so lovely to speak with. There's a whole bundle of different shows at different venues that you can book and look ahead to for next week. So we'll have that conversation before the end of 7 o'clock. You can follow us on Instagram at UpstageCKUT. Images of our guests and more, so have a look at Instagram. I also reshare posts from different theater accounts in and around the city, so kind of trying to keep track of little news items from here and there. And if you're looking for things to do this weekend, might I encourage you to check out La Tohu, where Gravity and Other Myths continues to present The Pulse. I checked this out last week. We spoke with one of the designers last Thursday. It's a really fabulous circus show. Older audiences, I would say. There's a lot going on in terms of examining entertainment and self-reflection, but it's also very entertaining, and it ends in a very cheeky, very droll manner that I think you're going to enjoy. And with that, on with the show. I'm very happy to have in front of me Rahul Gandhi, who is directing a new play at the, well, new to Montreal, called Mother Effer with the Hat. The actual title is The Real Word. And it is by a director, a writer actually named Stephen Adley Gurgis, who, Rahul, you had have already directed one of his plays a couple of years back. Welcome to Upstage. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Happy Leap Day.
And do you feel special about Leap Day? Not just me, right?
Yeah, I marked this. I was like, it has to be today I come in. Of course.
We will mention that your show is still a couple of weeks away. It will be March 12th to the 17th at Mainline Theatre. This is a House of Actors production. And I was kind of reviewing the notes and thinking, well, I feel like I've had something like this conversation before with Rahul. You had directed Stephen's, I think this was an earlier work in his timeline, some years back. And he's an interesting writer, American, had worked with people within the who were incarcerated within the prison system. And that seems to have inspired a lot of the stories that he writes about. So tell me about Stephen Adley. It's Gurgis, I believe.
Gurgis. Yeah.
And what intrigues you about his writing?
Stephen Adley Gurgis. Yeah, I mean, he's very, very much New York. And the producer, well, one of the producers of this show, as well as one of the main actors, Josh Bilbao, is a big fan. He studied in New York. So he introduced me to Stephen Adley Gurgis, who... his writing just... his writing is nothing... special, and yet it is so, so, so all-consuming and true. His writing is like steak and potatoes, just seasoned with salt and pepper type thing. It'll get you where it needs to get you. Absolutely. It's all there, and yet it's really, really simple and really human. The more and more I hear it, read it, watch it, I find something new every time. You can almost gloss over it if you just do it once, but... over and over again. He's just a really, really interesting writer in that sense.
Tell me more about him as a person.
Oh man, more about him as a person. I can't tell you too much. I tried to, I've done my research as much as possible, but I really, really focused on the play. I know that he writes what he knows. He writes New York stories. He writes American stories. Back, we worked on Jesus Hop the A-Train in 2021. And like you mentioned, he spent time at Rikers with inmates learning about that so he can write about the prison system. And this one, the Mother Flapjack with the Hat, is about love and addiction. And it's a dramedy. It's a dark comedy.
Yeah, there's a lot of dark edges to it. True to the earlier material, Jesus Hop the A-Train, he's writing about someone who has recently gotten home from prison, is returning to normal life. He has a girlfriend. His name is Jackie. Girlfriend is Veronica. Tell me more about where we go from that story, because I can just imagine this is a time of tremendous transition for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he's at a crossroads, Jackie, and this character, we're portraying him about, in his late 20s, at a time where he has the choice of kind of still being a kid, kind of living the life that he used to live, and being an adult. It really, really, there's a lot of this play that actually reminds me about that opening monologue in Train Spotting about, like, get a job, get a mortgage, do this, buy a fridge that makes crushed ice, et cetera, et cetera. He's really at that place in his life and kind of needs to make that decision. And that gets intertwined with his addiction, that gets intertwined with his relationship and more.
And he has support with the addiction. He is on the road to recovery, from what I understand.
Exactly. Yeah. So this play, Jackie is going through it, and he's been clean for a good amount of time before this play starts. We have his sponsor, actually Ralph D, which is just a great name for a character, in this play as well. His sponsor makes an appearance. You know, the AA handbook is prominently featured as well. As something that we keep on coming back to. So I just don't want to give too much away. That's why I'm sort of skirting around his battle with addiction.
You talk about loving the writing. Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, just like the world that Gurgis creates is very immersive. Mm-hmm. What else draws you to this story as a director? You know, you had produced his work earlier, but what drew you to this show in particular?
Honestly, the first thing that drew me to this show was I didn't pick this show. I just have so much faith in the people that I work with around me. So two fringes ago, maybe, Josh Bilbao came to me after the Frankies and was like, hey, man, I want to do the show. Do you want to do it with me? Would you direct? And I was like, honestly, because you're asking me, yeah, I would. And then after I read it, I was like, oh, this is really, really, like, again, very simple if you read it one way. And if you read it the exact same way a few hours later, absolutely crushing and devastating.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Speaking with Rahul Gandhi, who is the director of a play called The Mother Effer with the Hat. It's coming to Mainline Theater later next month. Tomorrow's March the 1st. So, like, pinch me. I can't believe February is over. Mm-hmm. March 12th to the 17th at Mainline Theater, where you can also pick up your tickets as well. The world of, you said Stephen Ely Gurgis, the, I'm saying it 10 different ways as I realize.
That's okay.
Tell me his name again.
Stephen Ely Gurgis.
Gurgis, as you said, is so New York. He worked at Rikers as an intervention specialist. He's writing about characters that are very, like, yeah, as you, New York. How do you get that done accurately? Because people have been to New York and they've seen so many movies and TV shows set there, but it's a very particular way of being, of living. But how do you, as a director, guide your actors in a way that it doesn't feel like trite or put on, that it feels real?
Absolutely. I mean, I think as a director, I have to meet actors where they're at and sort of do my best to summon the best from everyone and actually make something greater than the sum of its individual parts with all of us together. And that being said, you know, we don't do big New York accents or anything like that. We don't need it. The text is written actually in a way that brings it out a little bit, and I think that's enough. And on top of that, because we're in the theater, because we're at Mainline, there's already such a need for suspension of disbelief. And for an independent production with so much suspension of disbelief, I think let's lean into it. Let's go into that. The set design needs three different apartments. Why don't we lean into the theatricality of how to portray that on a single stage? Why don't we have no blackouts? why don't we never change location? Like, we're dealing with this in a really interesting way to make it, yeah, you're in New York, and at the same time, you're watching a play at the Main Line, and at the same time, you're in these people's worlds.
That's really well put. You are an actor as well, in addition to directing. How do you feel about your journey, your creative journey, and how you're leaning into your directing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they feed each other. I think that acting and directing absolutely feed each other. Directing makes me a better actor. Acting makes me a better director. Just knowing what's going on at any point in time as an actor is so helpful to my own process, knowing what I need to do. As a director, it constantly trains my vocabulary, and it constantly makes me think about the outside in, the vision, the visual, the composition, all of that. And if I can think about those things as an actor, well, because I direct, I think about those things as an actor. And because I act, I can think about the impact in the audience as a director. It's like a yin and yang. It just kind of keeps going over and over through itself.
Having directed the same writer's work, Jesus Hop the A-Train, some years ago, you directed that, and here you are re-engaging with his work. It must feel like you're kind of evaluating. This is what I was doing back then. It's not the same story, but he touches on similar themes. The writing is still the same. Do you feel like you're measuring your progression?
Yeah, it's a really good bar almost to compare myself to. And I've had opportunities to, I directed Anushree Roy's Letters to My Grandma in 2023 out in Prince Edward Island. So I got the experience directing a larger scale production of something else entirely, and now returning to Stephen Adley Gurdjieff and returning to this text. So it's funny, sometimes I'm like, what year is it? Where am I? And it's 2024 all of a sudden, and like, what happened? I'd say it's hard to tell exactly how different it is right now, and it'll become much more apparent next week.
These names and the cast, people I'm not very familiar with, and I think will be fresh to a lot of the audience. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Joshua Bilbao, who's playing the main role of Jackie, the man who's just left prison, getting back into civilian life. Tell me about some of the other performers.
Yeah, definitely. So we also have Emily Rachel, who's recently graduated from Dawson and just a really, really great performer. Is making her independent debut in Montreal with this show. I'm very excited for her. You know, we have Evangelos Pavlou, or Evan Pavlou, who's a very good friend of mine. We went to Concordia together, I admire him as an actor because he can do this thing where it makes it look like he's not acting at all. He's not working. He's not sweating. His heart rate is completely normal, and yet he's doing so much at the same time. And it almost frustrates me because I'm like, oh, I want to be able to do that every time.
The people who make it look easy?
Yeah, he makes
like
it look
not
easy.
Trying.
Exactly. And I know because he works at it. And Lily McLean is making her return to the stage. It's been a couple of years for her. I think it's been 4 or 5 years for her, but she's a wonderful performer. Currently a master's student, but she's such a good actor. And we have Iman Bélanger also making... Iman's making their... debut on stage. They're a comedian, but they're so right for the part and so funny in this performance.
And they're going to be playing the role of Julio, who's also on this journey of dealing with addiction, but also trying, you know, to lead a life on the straight and narrow.
Cousin Julio, actually, I mean, he's a sex addict. Was a sex addict.
Okay. A different kind of addiction.
Different kind of addiction. Yeah, yeah. But he's actually really lovely, guiding. A guiding light for Jackie in this story.
You write that this is grim, dim, vulgar, grimy. Why should people come see the show?
Because it will appeal to your dim, grim, and grimy senses and appeal. it's fun to be able to do a piece of theater and watch a piece of theater that right now is just about people and their mistakes rather than the end of the world, like most theater is. It's important. It's here. The world isn't an incredible place, but once in a while it's fun to be able to do, you know, a character story in theater.
Well, really well said. Yeah. Rahul, I know you're very busy, so before I let you go, I do want to know what you have coming up besides the show as an actor. Can we see you in anything?
Yeah, I'm working on a short film that my friend is directing, Aiden Cottrow. It's called Rose Petals Bloodbath. That'll be filming very soon. I'm directing a workshop and a possible production by Order of Canada recipient Kent Stetson. That's coming up soon, and I will be returning to Prince Edward Island this summer to direct a staged adaptation of Misery by
Stephen King. They're having you back.
They're having me back. Yes.
Nice that you're headed back to PEI. Mm-hmm. It's a special place. Rahul, it's been great to see you. Thanks for coming in on a very cold Thursday evening to tell us about Mother Effer with a Hat.
Thanks for having me.
That is Rahul Gandhi. He is directing the show. It is a House of Actors production. The show is called Motherfucker with a Hat. It's at Mainline Theater March 12th to the 17th. I encourage you to go get tickets. Head to mainlinetheater.ca for more information and to pick up the tickets. They are $25, and there is $20 for QDF members, students, and members of Elan. So opening night is Monday, March the 12th. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Sarah Day. I'm your host this hour. Every Thursday from 6 to 7, we take a look at theater in this beautiful city. Still to come on the show, we'll take a preview of the wonderful Castellier Festivals. That's all about marionettes and puppets. But up next, we'll touch base with Zach Fraser, director at Infinite Theatre, Montreal. They're adapting a novel by a Montreal novelist. The word novelist is so stuck in my head this evening, I don't know why. We'll find out more about Dominoes at the Crossroads, a brand new show for you to check out starting next week. Stay tuned.
Our lullabies were violent, those winters of my discontent. So long farewell, I do.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. We were just listening to some Alison Russell there. I'm absolutely in love with her song Springtime from her Grammy winning album. It won a couple of weeks ago, originally from Montreal, and she won the Americana category. And kind of thinking about spring because it was so mild earlier this week, although you couldn't tell by heading out today, it was absolutely freezing, and it still is, but there's milder temperatures ahead for us. We're also listening to a little bit of Mathai Amiachi there as well on this Leap Day edition of Upstage. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining me. Still to come on the show, we'll take a preview of the Castellier Puppet Festival starting next week. It's launching, yeah, a week from tonight. But first, we're going to take a look at a new play being presented by Infinitheater. It is adapted by an award, as it is an adaptation of an award-winning novel by Kai Kello, who is a Montreal-based writer originally from Calgary. Like A Set of Dominoes, each part of the book covers a different time and space. And as you can imagine, they're all interconnected. Same as when you flick that first domino in a line. I'm very privileged to have on the phone with me right now the director and artistic director at Infinitheater, Zach Fraser. And we're also joined by Alexandra Laferrière, who is one of the performers in the show. It opens March 7th and runs until the 16th. Good evening, guys. Welcome to Upstage.
Hello, Sarah.
Hi. Hi, Alexandra. You guys just got out of rehearsal. Thank you for making time for me.
Oh, no problem.
So I want to start with Kai Kello's work and how you were drawn to this, Zach. Is this is a more recent publication, picked up a couple of words. It was noticed, I think it won the Hugh MacLennan Prize here for writing in Quebec, a novel of writing prize. Tell me about what drew you to this author and this work.
Yeah, it was the first time I discovered Kai's writing, and I found the book at Drawn and Quarterly. And to be honest, at the time, I was curious to find some local writers. I'm always excited to find pieces, writers and stories that are that might have a potential in the theater that aren't necessarily written as plays, and I get excited by that sort of adaptation process. And when I read Dominoes at the Crossroads, it's a collection of short stories that are separate but interwoven in some ways. And what I loved about it jumps into the past, the present, the future. There are elements that are very grounded in history and historical, key historical moments. And then also it's very dreamlike and fantastical. And it's also really quite personal and I don't think you can quite say autobiographical, but almost autobiographical or inspired by real life experiences as well for Kai. And I found that it there's a lot of complexity to it and yet a lot of poetry, and it transported me in a lot of ways. And in some ways it resonated, and in some ways it intrigued me and drew me to parts of the world that I'm less familiar with as well. And that was a few years ago. And so we've gone through a bit of a development process, and I'm lucky that Alex Laferrière is one of the actors who's been part of the process since quite early on.
Yeah, this is so interesting. You give credit to the creative team for helping with the adaptation. So we'll bring you in, Alex, as well. Alexandra Laferrière, who's playing some of the roles in Dominoes at the Crossroads. Have you ever adapted a novel in a committee, Alex, before? Is this new to you?
Yeah, I don't recall having done that. some plays get workshopped, and it starts out as a play, and you're just trying to distill it to a finer piece. And this, it was really just taking the novel and trying to adapt it to the stage in terms of language and how we move around on the stage and how we're telling the story and how characters talk to each other. Because it's two different mediums, and there's just different types of language in a novel compared to on the stage when you have two or three actors communicating with one another. So it was a very interesting experience. Did you a novel as well.
What were some of the challenges in adapting to this? My first thought is just it's different sequences in different places. I mean, obviously we're using our imagination, we're getting creative, but that would strike me as technically kind of difficult to pull off. You're going from Haiti in one moment to Montreal in another. I think at some point there's a sequence in World War, one of the World Wars in Paris, if I'm not mistaken.
In our version, I don't think so, but possibly okay. In the novel. There are some references to more wars that took place in North America, like on the Plains of Abraham, moments like that. And there is a spy that travels from Europe to Montreal. Mm-hmm. But in terms of imagination, I would say that theater allows for that jump in time and space. You could be in one country, and then another scene is in another country, or the character is speaking in one place, and as they're talking, they've landed in another place. I'd say the challenges are really trying to adapt the language of a novel, because sometimes it's the narrator's point of view, and it could be very dry. And making it more theatrical, give it more energy, so that you see that there's importance behind it. Because theater is really about making the everyday significant, in some ways.
Okay, that is the voice of Alex Laferrière, who's one of the performers in Dominoes at the Crossroads and helped with the adaptation process. So we've talked about the themes of there's home and belonging to a place and time. I'm wondering, Zach, if you can tease out some of the threads. We understand a little bit better the characters that we get to meet.
You may not realize what a complex question you're asking. But there are a series of I think in the novel version, there are characters that come in and go out, and then it's almost the same character, but not quite, or it seems like there's overlap, and there's a certain fluidity that I quite like about it, that I've been trying to maintain or preserve in our adaptation. So there are characters, you know, I think a lot of the different characters are all searching around some of those same questions of identity and place and roots and connection to past and where they're coming from and where they may be reaching toward, where they're striving to land, if they're just striving to land or to find their place. There's different families at play, and I think that ultimately, as I've been looking at this as a piece of theater, I'm trying not to look at it as words that came into play early on is like a mixtape. It's like a series of songs or an album where each of the pieces all connect together. They all share some theme, and there might be bits of narrative that come back and return, but we're not looking at one straight through line, and not every character has a beginning, middle, and end that spans throughout the play, but each of them together add something to the full picture.
Okay, so we're jumping around a lot, and it's not going to be tied together in a nice bow at the end. I want to go back to the adaptation process and how this was worked on by a group of people. If you came to a roadblock or just indecision about, you know, where do we take this character or how do we, you know, make this work, how did you resolve a roadblock or a problem like that? And Zach, Alex, either one of you want to answer that?
I think we still each had our sort of our hats or our roles within the room. So there's our designers and there's the performers and there's myself as the director and adapter of the piece. But it's in the notion of in collaboration with is really to underline the sense of trying to bring all the voices that are at the table into the conversation, and very much it informed the process. I think the show that is very much the show because of all the different people who were in the room and the life experience and perspectives and artistic sensibilities that come with each of those people. At the end of the day, my job as director is still to sort of take all those different opinions and views and ultimately come to some decision along the way.
You still have to take people in hand, kind of, and kind of gently or less gently guide people towards a result at times. Like, you have to be the deciding factor in some cases.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be its best piece if everyone feels invested in it and if everyone feels like they have a certain degree of ownership over it. So part of the process is making space for that and hoping that everyone stands behind it. There's a spectrum here in terms of you've got some rooms where very much one person in charge and other processes where everybody has an equal voice. I'd like to say that we all have equal voice, except that we all have different tasks within. We all have different roles and responsibilities in the room still. So, I don't know. Alex might say it's not always a democracy. I think it would be naive to call it a democracy all the time. But at the same time, it is collaborative, I hope. And I hope it's playful, even if dealing with some themes that are not always light and...
not always that easy.
Yeah.
Alex, for you as a performer, what has this been like for you to have so much input and the adaptation of the story, the behind the scenes aspect?
I'd say it was surprising because I'm not used to, I would consider quite a democratic process compared to other shows that I've been on where, and in all fairness, sometimes you do need a director or a leader that kind of really mans the ship and makes every single decision. But this kind of piece really required every single collaborator to give their opinion and to share their ideas and their feelings about scenes, whether things were making sense, especially since it's talking about different places, not only in Canada, but in the Caribbean. And there's also some touching upon Senegal as well. So you're getting all these different experiences together in one room. And it's good to have one person that's, I would say, a director and a facilitator as well in that process so that we come to one cohesive idea. But I'd say there were moments of, committee decisions, but peaceful committee decisions.
I'm still so interested by this kind of committee work to it. I'm really curious to see how the show will unfold. But I feel like with Zach, you have you really are very mature as a director. And I know you're also an educator. So I'm sure your hand will be present in the show. But I'm curious to kind of see the different elements coming together, knowing that this was kind of done with a lot of people's input. It's a really fascinating process. So I have to ask, is Kai Kello, so the author of Dominoes at the Crossroads, will he be present for opening on March the 7th?
That is a fair question. Kai has been very graciously supportive at a distance but not too distant as well in terms of, I think Kai was very open to the proposal from the get-go, and we've had conversations along the way. Early on in the rehearsal process, Kai came into the room and shared some of his perspective on, in terms of his inspiration for writing these pieces. And yet, at the same time, he's also been gracious to say, you know, this is your piece, and Kai is happy to see us run with it and let it become its own thing. So, it's always great to have writers available to you, and also when they feel trusting enough or generous enough to be able to say, yeah, run with it and do your thing. And I think I hope that that served us well, and I hope that obviously we're doing justice to his writing while also letting it evolve into something that is inspired by and yet different from what he first wrote.
The last thing I want to ask you is, what do you think makes this a Montreal story? Besides the fact that Kai, the author, is based in Montreal, is a Montrealer himself, what do you think stands out to you that makes this a story about the city?
Alex, do you want to jump in?
Sure. I would say what makes it a Montreal, well, I wouldn't say it's exclusively a Montreal story, but it speaks about experiences that I could say myself as a Montrealer speak to me. And hopefully it speaks to those that are a part of a diaspora, whether it's a Caribbean diaspora or just people that feel they want to find a place for themselves and have moved and shifted. And there are some references to specific Montreal events and places, so that also could ground it in Montreal. But I think there's Montreal, and then there's more than Montreal in this story.
Very nice. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show and for talking to us about Dominoes at the Crossroads. Wishing you all the best as the days count down to opening.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
That is the voices of Zach Fraser, who is the director, and Alexandra Laferrière, who helped in the adaptation, as did much of the team. Really interesting process there that we were learning about. The show itself is called Dominoes at the Crossroads, and as we've been mentioning, it is based on a novel by Kai Kello, who is a Montreal-based writer, originally from Calgary. It's an award-winning book, 2020 winner of the Quebec Writers Federation's Hugh MacLennan Prize for Fiction. So you can check out the book before you see the show. It opens March 7th and runs until the 16th at 3860 Jean Amals that's in the Plateau. For tickets and more information, please visit infinitheater.com. Tickets are $30. It is $15 for students and those under 30, and $25 for seniors and those in the industry. Box office, you can also call 514-987-1774 or email box-office@infinitheater.com. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Sarah DeA. We talk about theater every week here in Montreal. When we come back, we will take a look at the Castlegate Festival. We have a woman who improvises a whole show on a TV through the hour. We have Finnish puppets bringing wooden blocks to life, and also a company from Belgium that tells a story inspired by a work by Nikolai Gogol. It's an absurdist surrealist tale. All that and more, part of Castellier, starting a week from tonight. It is leap day, so we're going to listen to some Louis Prima playing Jump, Jive, and Whale here while we get Louis ready. Stay tuned.
Then you really gotta jump, jive, and then you really gotta jump, jive, and then you she wants to learn how to jive and wheel. Oh, you gotta jump, jive, and then you really 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 gotta jump, jive, and then you will.
Music by Louis Prima, who was a New Orleans-based band leader and singer. Oh, that was so entertaining. We were listening to Jump, Jive, and Whale because today is a leave day. So, you know, let's take advantage. You're listening to Upstage. My name is Sarah Day. Welcome back. So my last guest had a greeting to pass on to my current guest. Joining us on the line right now is Louise Lapointe, who is head honcho over at the Castellier Festival. Good evening, Louise.
Good evening.
So I have a message for you. Zach Fraser says hello and wishes you all the best.
Oh, thanks
Thanks, Zach. That's lovely.
Zach was just on to talk about his new show, and he said, oh, please tell Louise I said hi. And I thought to myself, oh, what is that connection? Yes, Zach Fraser is also a very gifted puppeteer and teaches as well students in the art of puppetry. But he's been very busy of late because he was appointed as artistic director at Infinite Theatre some years ago.
Yes.
So the community.
And Zach is also the president of the Quebec Puppeteers Association.
It's a tight knit community, is it not?
A tight knit, yeah, but it's a very big one. You know, the AQM, the Quebec Association, has more than 180 members right now. So it's more than 40 companies and many, many individuals. Puppetry arts are really booming.
That's so wonderful to hear. And so with that, the Festival International de Castellier, the 19th edition, is back March 6th to the 10th, always timed for spring break. What's nice this year is that I think the French school boards or school service centers and the English boards are all off at the same time. So you're going to have kids and parents clamoring for your wares, your what's on offer here. How many different shows are you squeezing in over these 5 days?
We have 12 performances, actually 11, and plus one movie cinema a night. So, and we have shows for children and for adults, and we have shows for also shows without words. So they're wonderful for both English or French or allophone family.
Fantastic. And you also have a lot of people coming in from outside of Canada as well. It's always a hallmark of the festival. How far away are people coming to journey to Montreal for Castellier?
Oh, well, this year we're so happy. We have a company from Republic of Korea, and we have a show from Finland and from France, from Belgium, from Yukon, from British Columbia, from Quebec. So we're very enthusiastic about the brochette of shows we can present. And also we have a big professional delegation of more than 40 people coming from all over the world to come and see the festival and see the shows. And it's a very good marketplace for the puppeteers to show their work and develop their audiences.
And how do you end up finding these talented teams all over the world? You go to other festivals to check them out.
Yes. I try to travel as much as I can. So maybe three, four times a year, I travel abroad to see what's happening and to meet with all other directors. It's very important. And also, I work with an artistic committee. So there's six of us. So each of us, we see different things, and we meet every 2 or 3 months, and we talk about what we've seen and what we'd like to present. So it's a very interesting way to work with this committee, and it brings very interesting discussions amongst ourselves. So I'm very lucky, and I love to work this way.
I'm speaking with Louise Lapointe, who is with the Festival International de Castellier. It kicks off a week from tonight, running until the 10th of March. What for you is the big marquee show this year, the one that you think is going to draw in the most people?
Well, it's, all the shows we present, they're precisely picked. So we love them all. But we're very happy about the opening performance. It's a show called Loco, and it's from Belgian company. And it's a wonderful piece. It's adapted from Gogol, Journal d'un Fou, a short novel. And it's a fantastic performance of two manipulators manipulating the same character. And it's really incredible. It's really a great, great art, I could say. And also one of the shows that's a big hit is Ingrid Henson from Snafu from British Columbia. She will perform her Epidermis Circus. And she's a wonderful puppeteer known for her TV work, but she's also great on stage. She's quite a star right now.
Oh, yes.
And also...
This was absolutely something I wanted to talk to you about. She's using household objects, which is a favorite of mine, and she's got a camera as well. This is for kids, the kids and adults 13 and up, so not quite for younger ones.
It's for adults.
Yeah. It's for adults. And what is she doing exactly on stage?
Well, she uses, like you say, a different ordinary daily objects, and she uses them on a little table, and she has a camera, so you can see a big picture behind her of what's happening, and she
the way she uses and transforms the objects is so wonderful, and she has an exquisite sense of humor. So Ingrid, she's one of a kind, and so I would say I can. It's hard to describe, but she does little tableaux, and each little tableau has its own pun or exquisite manipulation. So she's lovely, and if you go on our website, you can see a little video of her work, and she's wonderful.
Yeah, you want to book your tickets for that as soon as possible. And something else I wanted to ask about was, I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, Dessaim or Dessaim?
Dessaim,
yes. Dessaim. Mm-hmm. So it's spelled Dessaim. And this is something that's kind of science-y. It's an installation / performance.
Yes, it's a wonderful experimental work. It's about robotics and marionettes. So it's a work that's been going on for the last 2 years between engineers from the ETS, Technical École de Technologie Supérieure de l'UQAM, and so engineers in robotics and choreographers and puppeteers. And they work together around the dessin. It's around the swarms, you know, the swarms from bees and birds. And
yeah.
So now they do robotic swarms. And it's really, like I say, an experimental work with these the meeting of these different artists and engineers. So it's a wonderful, very intriguing performance.
We're speaking with Louise Lapointe at the Castellier, and we're going through some of the shows. There's several to choose from for all ages.
Yes.
What would you like to mention next?
I would like to mention a show with strings. It's called in French, Jeux de Ficelle, but it's without words. Again, a great show for the family. It's from 4 years old and up, and it's from Republic of Korea. And he's a solo artist working with strings, puppets, marionettes, and it's really a beautiful, fun performance that has come all across the world. So we're very excited to present him. And also from New York, we have this big company called Local 7 Dance Company, and it's a show for adults, this one also, and it's about the real, it's adapted from a real life story of an old woman who is sick, and she decides to finish her life in a beautiful way, you know, surrounded by her family. So it's very touching with puppets and dancers and projection. So it's really, really well done to talk about such a delicate subject.
There
are a few things, and also we have, like I said, I would recommend to watch, have a look on our website, and you can see all the different propositions and little excerpts, so you can make a choice of what you would like to see.
Radio Silence is another piece that really intrigues me. It's going to be at Théâtre
Outremont. Oh, yeah.
And this is from a company out in Yukon.
Yes, it's the first time we welcome them, and we welcome a company from Yukon, so we're very excited. And it's Silence Radio, and it's a show using full masks, puppets, and projections, and it's wonderful, and it's a story about a man who is a pilot, and he transmits his love for flying to one of his daughters, and it's a great story about life experience, and it gives us a beautiful insight in the wilderness of Yukon, and it's very sensitive for the whole family, and it's on the big stage of Théâtre Outremont, so it's really beautiful artwork, and I like the way they use, at the same time, masks and puppets.
Okay, so that is Radio Silence, which is coming to Théâtre Outremont, and they're coming all the way from the Yukon for this particular show. It's set in the 1920s as well, so that's going to be a really atmospheric presentation. What other shows do you want to mention?
I would like to mention also Block Théâtre. It's a solo performance also from Finland, and the artist, her name is Rosa Haun, and she created this beautiful piece with small wooden blocks, and she creates whole atmospheres with the original music, and it's a show for 3 years old and up, and it's, again, it's without words, so it's perfect for the whole family and the Montreal public, and it's a show that has been touring all over the world, and we're very, very happy to present Rosa's work here, finally.
So she's carving blocks on stage?
No. She uses already carved blocks.
Okay.
It's a concept she developed with a few other artists from Finland. And so they use block shapes, and she transforms them into characters, animals, and she makes stories out of them. And it's presented also with some, she will give two workshops for the family on the weekend to show people how to work with that and develop their own whim, their own talent with building blocks. So it's very simple, but it's exquisite. The way you can transform the most simple shapes and transform them, have your imagination transform them into something quite complex and so evocative.
Now, another piece that's for slightly older kids, it's a bit more mature, Lunch with mm-hmm. Sonia, which is inspired yeah. by a real story from the artist's life.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking to you earlier about. It's the story of the
oh, yes.
this woman who has been very sick, and now she decides, okay, she will finish her life in with dignity, and she invites her whole family, and they celebrate kind of the end of her life together. And it's a very sensitive and touching piece. And what is fantastic about this, it's a company from New York, but the director, one of the directors is from Colombia. So the first night will be presented in English with French subtitles, and the second night will be presented in Spanish with French subtitles. So we hope, more people can come and see it, and the Latin Americans can come and see it and enjoy a show in Spanish.
Okay, there's so many shows that I'm like not even able to keep track of all of them. Before I let you go, we will mention the Marionette en Vitrine, but we have time to mention one more show that you think people will be drawn to, or one that you're excited for.
I'm excited about all of them.
I know you. Every year you have trouble choosing. I know that.
Yes, yes. Which maybe one I would like to also mention is the other one from far away, from France. It's called Pour bien dormir, to sleep well. And it's a show which using shadow theater and also some little new technologies and projections. And it's all black and white. And it's a story about, how to sleep well. And it's the performer. He's a very famous French puppeteer. He's known for his building techniques and the characters he could build, and his company is called Mechanica, and they love to work with new technology, but now he uses it to work for very small children from 5 up. So I think it's very exciting also to see this show, and it's without words again, so it's open to all public.
Okay. Now, a fun thing, if you don't have time to get to a show, they're all sold out, you can still get a taste of the Castellier just by walking around Mailand and Outremont, because there is yes. Marionette en Vitrine, which it's now on. It's been on for a couple of weeks, and this is a really yep. fun thing to make time for. 50 different puppets, and where are they exactly? How do we find them?
Well, they are mostly on the Bernard Avenue and Van Horn Avenue, and also on Park. So if you go on our website, you can have the itinerary. There's more this year. There's 26 shops and businesses showing the different puppets. And this year we put on the spotlight Patrick Martel, who's a famous puppeteer from Montreal. Patrick teaches at the LUCAM in the theater department. And he has worked with many different puppet companies from Montreal. And he has worked with Cirque du Soleil, with Kid Koala, with the TV. So we can see an array, a spectrum of all these creativity in the different shop windows, and it's coupled with also work from the students he has taught to during many years of teaching at UCAM. So you can see the creation of new, younger puppeteers coming up. So it's a really lovely walk around the neighborhood of Outremont, and it gives you a good spectrum of all the different puppet techniques and different sizes. We have very small ones to big ones in the hardware store or in the park. So I really recommend it. It's a fun family venture for the weekend. And when it's nice out, you go and take a walk and look at all the beautiful puppets. And Pavla Manon, who's the curator, she makes an effort, to match the puppets with also the store specialty. So it's quite fun to look at that in this way, too.
It really snaps you out of your daily kind of your daily walk to kind of see, oh, there's a giant life-size puppet hanging out at the Home Hardware. Yeah. What is that? Oh, good to know. And the weather is going to be great for that this weekend as well. It's going to be really mild and there's going to be some sunshine. So maybe something we can fit in this weekend. Louise.
Yeah, and this exhibit will last till March 12th.
Right. So we have just over 13 days to check that out. It's so nice to speak with you again, Louise. I really appreciate you giving us a glimpse into the world of marionettes and marionette makers and performers. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you so much. And I hope to see you soon.
We'll see you at the show. That is Louise Lapointe, who is with the Festival International de Castellier. For tickets and more information, the program, check out festival.castellier.ca. And that is just about time on Upstage for this Leap Day, Thursday, February 29th, 2024. Thank you to my guests, including Louise, Zach Fraser, and Alexandre Laferrière at Infinite Theatre, and Rahul Gandhi, who is directing Mother Effer with the Hat, coming to Mainline Theater next month. Thank you for tuning in this evening. I'll speak with you next week on Upstage. More stories about theater in this wonderful city. You can listen back to the show at ckut.ca. Up next is Gray Matters with my friend Fortner Anderson. Stay safe.
Director of Dawn, Democracy for the Arab World Now. Previously, she was executive director of Human Rights Watch's Middle East and North Africa division from 2004 to 2020. She has led dozens of advocacy and investigative missions throughout the region, focusing on issues of armed conflict, accountability, legal reform, migrant workers, and human rights. She has published widely on human rights and foreign policy in the Middle East in international and regional media, including the New York Times, Foreign Affairs, the Washington Post, and Foreign Policy. Here's tonight's lecture, Gaza, International Law, and the Biden Presidency. It was recorded in Brooklyn, New York on February 1st, 2024.
The stakes of this continued support for Israel, the stakes of continuing to whitewash its crimes, Biden risks passing and paying a very high price for this, and the Democratic Party risks paying a very high price for this, because Muslim Americans, Arab Americans, progressive Americans are increasingly making clear every single day that they will not vote for Biden.